Section 3. New technologies alter the industrial economy. As you read, look for the status of the big three industries at the end of the century, new technologies and companies in the state, the rise of interstate banking, the growing popularity of NASCAR, and the following term, interstate banking. While politics in North Carolina was changing after 1970, so was the economy. The stability of the big three industries gave way steadily in the last decades of the century. Tobacco in particular took hits because of the bad health risks associated with smoking. In the midst of the decline of the old forms of industry, new economic opportunities came to the state. In agriculture, for example, the number of people who farmed fell dramatically. Yet, those farms that remained became larger and more productive by using better technology. North Carolina remained one of the top 10 farming states through the end of the 20th century. It also helped pioneer new technologies in drugs, computers, and banking. Stop signs along Tobacco Road. North Carolina continued to make more cigarettes than any other state and to grow most of the tobacco needed for those cigarettes. Because fewer Americans smoked, however, the size of the tobacco industry shrank. This was particularly true among the growers on the coastal plain. Income from tobacco stayed steady at $1 billion, but tobacco's portion of state agriculture shrank from 36% in the 1970s to 15% by the 1990s. The size of the tobacco allotments, the permits needed to grow tobacco for the price-supported market, was cut in half. Profits went down even more after 1996 when the federal government severely restricted advertising by the tobacco companies. In addition, the tobacco companies agreed to a settlement with government officials over health-related medical costs. All this meant less money for farmers. Many small farmers left the business and leased out their allotments. Some farmers used new computer-controlled technology to create a better product. Jerome Vick in Wilson County started with a 2-acre allotment in 1968. By the middle of the 1990s, he grew hundreds of acres of tobacco and thousands more of cotton, cucumbers, peppers, sweet potatoes, wheat, and soybeans. Vick used cellular phones and internet weather reports to track the condition of his fields. A computer kept the heat even in the curing barns. Change also occurred in the cigarette factories of the Piedmont. The Philip Morris Company of Virginia opened a new plant in Concord soon after its Marlboro brand began to outsell RJR's Winston brand. R.J. Reynolds was almost ruined by bad management decisions during the 1980s, but it rebounded in the 1990s. It no longer made cigarettes in downtown Winston-Salem, only in plants at the edge of the city. Liggett and Myers had cut back cigarette production by the 1990s, and Durham ceased to be a city where cigarettes were manufactured. American Tobacco, the remnant of the old Duke family business, had only one factory in operation. It was located in Reidsville. Transitions in textiles and furniture. Textiles went into decline during this period as well. By the 1980s, competition from Asia began to hurt the industry. In 1997, a third fewer North Carolinians worked in cotton mills than had worked there 20 years before. Burlington Mills became Burlington Industries, but actually operated fewer factories. When cotton made a comeback in the 1980s, Burlington suffered a decline because there was less demand for synthetic fabrics. Cannon Mills in Kannapolis merged with Fieldcrest Mills in Eden, and the combined company continued to make towels and sheets. As textiles declined, many workers were willing to join labor unions. After several failed attempts, Fieldcrest Cannon became a unionized company in the 1990s. One thing did not change in textiles. The industry still had workers who had come into the mills during the Great Depression and did not leave until they retired. At the end of the 1990s, three employees at the Cannon plants in Kannapolis had been there since the Great Depression. Harold and Helen Holt, husband and wife, had gone to work together since World War II. Furniture continued to do well until the 1990s. Then, a new convention center for showing furniture opened in Las Vegas, Nevada. The allure of High Point faded in comparison. Although the furniture showroom still held 2 furniture weeks a year, growth slowed. Factories in Thomasville and Lenoir first laid off workers, then closed when lower-cost wooden furniture from China came into the United States market. New types of products and services. Newer companies enjoyed great success in the state during the 1980s and 1990s. In the 1970s, two NC State students helped some professors come up with a software program that analyzed farm prices and yields. Soon, James Goodnight and James Barr took their statistical analysis system, always pronounced SAS by its users, public, and made a fortune. SAS grew up with the new uses of the computer by large corporations and universities. The federal government soon was using SAS to come up with its monthly consumer price index, one of the key measures of the health of the American economy. In 1980, SAS moved into the first building of a 20-building campus in Cary, which has helped that town grow into a city. At the end of the 20th century, Goodnight had become the richest resident of North Carolina. SAS was part of the great economic success of the Research Triangle Park, RTP, which dated to the 1950s. More than 50 international businesses located there. The area had the highest number of people with advanced educations in the nation. RTP was the place where artificial athletic turf, also known as AstroTurf, was perfected. So was the barcode, which was later used for almost every product sold in a store. At IBM, the elementary ideas for the first personal computer were worked out. At Glaxo, a British pharmaceutical company, researchers developed the AIDS drug AZT, which prolonged life for hundreds of thousands of people with HIV. Krispy Kreme also made people across the nation pay attention to North Carolina. The donut had been a part of the Piedmont since the first shop was opened in Winston-Salem during the Great Depression. After World War II, the hot donuts shops spread across the South. In the 1970s, an international company bought Krispy Kreme and changed the recipe. Business slumped, so the original owners bought back the company and started over. In the 1990s, the company began to open shops in northern and western cities. People crowded the shops there, just as they did in North Carolina. Soon, Krispy Kreme donuts were being eaten on television shows and in the White House. The rise of interstate banking. North Carolina's scattered geography, which hurt it so much in the early history of the state, actually helped the state grow richer in the late 1990s. Because so many towns were scattered across the state, banks have always been allowed to open branches in other communities. This was not the case in many states. As the state prospered after World War II, the major banks spread out to take advantage of that prosperity. Some of the larger banks bought small ones. A merger of banks in Charlotte, Asheville, and Greensboro resulted in North Carolina National Bank, NCNB, during the 1960s. NCNB continued to grow during the 1970s. When the federal government loosened restrictions on interstate banking, where a bank can have branches in other states, NCNB was well prepared for the idea. Under the leadership of Hugh McCall, NCNB aggressively bought up banks in South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and then Virginia. In 1991, NCNB changed its name to Nations Bank. After it merged with the giant Bank of America of San Francisco, it took the name of the bank it bought. Bank of America then moved its headquarters in 1998 to the Square in Charlotte. It was at the time the largest bank in the nation. By the 1990s, Charlotte had passed Chicago, Los Angeles, and other large cities to become the second largest center of banking in the United States after New York City. Meanwhile, Wachovia in Winston-Salem and First Union in Charlotte also bought and merged with a number of banks. Wachovia even moved its headquarters to Charlotte to be at the center of the new banking operations. Interstate banking has made North Carolina internationally important. Bank of America, for example, became a heavy lender of money to South American governments and businesses during the 1990s. It served customers in 37 countries. The business of NASCAR. The most unexpected growth of a North Carolina industry was stock car racing. NASCAR, National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing, had started after World War II. From the beginning, North Carolinians have been at the heart of the sport. The Charlotte Motor Speedway sponsored the first World 600 race, the world's longest, in 1961. Promoters built racetracks in Rockingham and Wilkesboro as well. R.J. Reynolds sponsored the racing prize, the Winston Cup, as a way to promote cigarette sales among the early fans. Many of the fans were farmers and factory workers from across the Piedmont. By the 1960s, some of the best-known drivers came from North Carolina. Richard Petty of Level Cross, an old agrarian, related to farms or farming, community in the heart of the Uwharries, eventually won 200 races, more than anyone else in the sport. Later, Dale Earnhardt Sr. of Kannapolis became the best-known driver of the 1980s and 1990s. NASCAR went through a transition in the 1980s. The original sport of factory workers and small garage shops gave way to a national following of people from all types of backgrounds. Drivers were more likely to have gone to college, and the racing sponsors constructed elaborate shops to build the cars from scratch. The shops used the latest computer technology to make exact parts and fittings. NASCAR developed its own research triangle of shops and suppliers in the area bounded by Charlotte, Concord, and Mooresville. The majority of the successful drivers came to be headquartered there. Special feature, Carolina people, Dale Earnhardt. North Carolina gained prominence in the nation in the latter part of the 20th century. During the same time, a native sport became a national craze. In some ways, the two grew side by side in popularity and respect. Stock car racing, where the racer drove a car from the stock in a dealer showroom, began to draw fans beyond its southern origins. The North Carolinian who spread the popularity of NASCAR more than anyone was Dale Earnhardt Sr. of Kannapolis. Earnhardt was part of a second generation of stock car drivers. His father, Ralph, had been one of the original legends of short track driving, back when drivers literally took used cars, modified them as much as they could get away with, and raced on dirt tracks on Saturday nights in places like Hickory, Concord, and Winston-Salem. Dale Earnhardt was born in 1951 and began driving as a teenager. He quit high school to devote his whole attention to racing, something he later regretted. Father Ralph died in 1973, which made Dale even more determined to carry on the family racing tradition. It took several years for Earnhardt to succeed. He entered his first top-level NASCAR race in 1975, but he did not get his first win until 1979. His determination, however, helped him develop the skills needed to become the top driver of the 1980s. Over his career, he won 7 Winston Cups, the trophy given to the top driver each year. Twice Earnhardt won the Winston Cup 2 years in a row. In 1987, he became the first driver ever to win 4 races in a row. In all, he competed in 676 races in 27 years and won 76 times. Earnhardt was always one of the more aggressive drivers. He earned his nickname, the Intimidator, in 1987 when a close contact between his car and another sent that driver spinning off the track. Earnhardt's style was one of the reasons NASCAR grew in popularity in other parts of the nation during the 1990s. He also became known as the Man in Black because of the color of his car and his racing suit. Earnhardt became more of a media star than had been the case for famous drivers before him. His rivalry with fellow driver Jeff Gordon was talked about by fans across the nation. Earnhardt had 2 of the most spectacular wrecks ever witnessed on the NASCAR circuit. In 1996, his car flipped and slid across the track in front of other racers. Despite broken bones, Earnhardt crawled out of the vehicle. In 2001, he was not so fortunate. His car collided with another, then slammed into a wall at 150 miles per hour. The impact killed him instantly. Thousands of fans came to North Carolina to express their sorrow. Earnhardt became the first North Carolinian to have his funeral telecast worldwide. Eventually, the state of North Carolina renamed a highway in Kannapolis NC3 in honor of his racing number. The city of Kannapolis erected a statue in its central park. His son, Dale Jr., continued to race. symbolically winning the next race at the track where his father died. And his fans have put number 3 license plates on the fronts of their cars for years.